Well, hello, everybody. God bless you. It's wonderful to have you here. I love you very much. And I'd like for you to tell me something. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Now give yourselves a hand for you. Hey, we're going to do part three of The Earth. I'm not sure what I actually called that teaching, the other two parts, but my file says Earth Verses. But basically, this is Our Earth. That's probably a good title for the series, Our Earth. And this would be part three. We ended part two with people worshiping the earth, that the earth is alive, that there's a goddess that's well known throughout many of the world religions who is worshiped as the goddess of the earth. And as ridiculous as that sounds to you, hopefully, nonetheless, it still exists. And we are confronted with a plethora of estranged beliefs that we assimilate, that we try to understand, that we try to refute, that we try to ignore. But they're there. You're not going to get away from them. And I am doing my best to inform you of not only that stuff, but much more. Not only regarding our earth, but much more. Specifically, the end times. All of this revolves around the end times. Everything that we talk about when we're talking about our earth and how we've been deceived on our earth, and also how all that plays into the end times. And if you look at what I just said, there's a starting point and an end point, but we got all this stuff in the middle. And so the things that I'm endeavoring to discuss with you are all those things in the middle. Now, every one of us have been lied to all our lives about our earth. I'm sorry, I didn't write the book. What I'm trying to do is show you the book. But you have to make up your own choices. And I will caution you, maybe you shouldn't be here. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to me. Because if you don't agree with me and you think I'm wrong, or should I say it a different way, if you think you're right and thereby position yourself against me and what I'm saying, even before I have a chance to expose these things, then maybe you shouldn't be here. I don't really care that you have suffered through the lies, because there's nothing I can do about it except expose the truth. Now, I do care for you, so don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to fight with you. I'm going to expose the truth. And I've told people that you have to make up your own mind as I inform you. And I call that my job. Right now, that's my job. I've even asked the other teachers in our ministry to continue teaching the foundational truths so that I can focus on what's between the beginning and the end of all this matter, which is absolutely vast. And I literally spend 2 or 3 hours a day researching. And what I mean by researching is I search through other people's research. Okay? And that's a big job. And it just boggles my mind. And so I appreciate, I said I didn't care, but maybe a better way to say this, I appreciate what you've experienced in your life, what you've been taught. Now, when I say appreciate, that doesn't mean I like it. It just means I understand that you did that you went through that. That's what appreciate means also. I appreciate, I get it. That's another way to say it, a little more vulgar. I get it, you know. I appreciate what you've gone through because I've gone through it. I'm not without exception. But I ask you to not fight with me on this. I ask you to take your time to research. And if you can prove yourself right, well, God bless you. But if you prove yourself wrong, then God bless His word. Okay? So, with that out of the way, and I think it was very important that we say that, turn to Genesis chapter 6. I'd like to give you the Rosetta Stone of the Bible. Now, anytime I teach something, I don't feel I have to preface it with, I think, I believe, because I'm saying it, and that means I think it, and that means I believe it. So, I'd like to show you the Rosetta Stone of the Bible. Without this stone, you will not understand the Bible. We've been taught that figures of speech are what allow us to understand the Bible. And that's true to an extent, but it's only on the surface. There's something so much deeper that veins through the mountains of truth that we endeavor to climb when we read the Bible. And Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 qualify as the Rosetta Stone, the code, the key to unlock the rest, the Rosetta Stone. Okay? Verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, men which were of old, men of renown. There you have it, the Rosetta Stone of the Bible. Now, our research is progressive, in that we learn new things and change old things. We've done that ever since we've opened our mouths. So that's just the way it is. And God is unfolding His truths to the world, which is wonderful. But there's unlearning involved in that and new learning involved in that. And that is just the way it is. So there's nothing wrong with being exposed to truths and considering them without accepting them. That's intelligence. And when you're exposed to that learning scenario, don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. Go ahead and entertain it. Check it out. If you want to believe it, that's like step two. Okay, but allow yourself the privilege of expanding your mind a little bit and seeing what's there. I will reiterate that I am informing you. And I am still in the process of making up my own mind on many points. But I want you to be part of that process. I want you to be informed and to go check it out yourself. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Bible that we have, the King James, is part of the picture, a huge part. But there are other books that were not included in this canon of scriptures, it's called. Well, at least not in the King James. There are other churches around the world, organizations, cultures, and societies that embrace not only these 66 books, but also others, which were used back in 300, 400 AD. And just to throw it out there, Constantinople, the Council of Nicaea, they pretty much ruined everything. But that's when everything started to fall apart and scriptures and the books in the Bible started to be more or less firmed up. Okay? But there are other books, like the Book of Jasper, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilee, the Book of Giants. There are other books that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls that could be just as valid as what you've been reading all your life. And several of them are actually endorsed by God in the Bible that you read. Because you can read about Enoch and the Book of Enoch. You can read about other books, Jasper. You can read references, and let's call those endorsements. God endorsed it. He mentioned it. He said it. He used them. For instance, in the book of Jude, he used Jude. He used text from the book of Enoch in Jude. Well, that's an endorsement if there ever was one. Okay, so what we're doing is we're learning the pieces that fit between just about every word in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, from a plethora of sources, either extra biblical or totally extra, but not biblical, like mythology. Okay? So extra biblical would be like the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilee, the Book of Jasper. Totally not biblical, but extra, extraneous, would be mythology, which you can't really. You can't like throw your whole self into mythology because they didn't record it and verify the recordings of it. It was passed down by voice and elaborated upon and enhanced with every telling. But you can gain the underlying condition, the underlying connection to God's word many times. For instance, when you read about Thor and his mighty hammer trying to break through the firmament. Now, that's got to tell you something, okay? If you're interested in what the firmament is and or what NASA is trying to do when they throw rocket ships up there and try to break through it and blast nuclear bombs up there. You can gain that. Or when you read about a flood and an ark and people who were saved and giants who were killed by a flood, and you see that in mythology and you see that in all of the estranged world religions gifted to mankind by the fallen spirit men that God had created in heaven. And you can call them angels if you want. That's a whole other subject. And so, between all the words in those four verses, there's understanding that we can glean through many, many sources. Now, what I'm trying to do is inform you of that. Okay? And if you think that your soul's going through gyrations as you learn these things,
You have no idea what I've gone through.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 34, and I would like to pick up part three of Our Earth with the fallen stars. Falling stars. We ended last part, I told you, with the earth, some of the earth stuff, worshiping the earth, but also with the doors and windows of heaven. And we discussed briefly the firmament. So we're going to start with falling stars. Isaiah 34, 4. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down. Verse 4, Isaiah 34, 4. As the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. I shared this last week in fellowship. I don't think we recorded anything, did we? But I think that I did talk about this. Yeah. Oh, okay. That was a whole nother teaching, wasn't it? Okay. So these stars are supposed to fall onto the earth like figs would fall from a tree. Wow. Revelation chapter 6. Can you imagine that? Oh, yeah, I remember I went plop, 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 plop. You know, in the Bible where it says that those fallen angels gave up their original estate, what they did is they gave up their original spirituality, their ability to fly, their ability to traverse the distance between heaven and earth. They were stuck here, and they hated it, so they've forever been trying to figure out a way back. And that's what the Tower of Babel has to do. That's what pyramids have to do with, and just a whole lot of other things. Revelation chapter 6, verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. I find it fantastic that we have two sources here. And once we have two sources, I believe it. That's it. It's established. But I got to have two before I preach it. Because otherwise, I'm not sure. Because I know that God establishes something when he says it twice. Well, there you have two. So we know that these falling stars will plop to the earth one day. Stars plop, 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 plop all over the earth. Can you imagine if the earth was round? How that would happen? But the stars are in this terrarium, this firmament above us, and the earth lays out, reaches out, stretches out below it, flat, which cannot be disproven, and these figs are going to come down. Boom. And it covers the whole earth. You imagine that. Imagine being around. I think we even talked about how people are going to have heart attacks, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine. Plop, dead. Okay, turn to Daniel chapter 8. I'm just giving you some visuals. You know, Jesus did talk, Daniel chapter 8. Jesus did talk about the end times because his disciples asked him to tell them what the signs were going to be. And so Jesus said, okay, here they are. So we do know the signs of the end time. That's called prophecy. Daniel chapter 8, verse 10. This verse doesn't have anything to do with that exactly. Well, I guess it does because these are some of the prophecies. 8:10. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. That's that horned beast thing. Wow, cast to the ground. Isn't that something? Turn to Matthew 24. I want you to know our earth, and that's what these verses are for. Matthew 24. We've got way more than two here. So you can be assured that this will happen one day. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So there are powers in the heavens. They'll be shaken. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 25. And the stars of heaven shall fall. Any doubt that these stars are going to fall? I mean, boy, the Bible's just riddled with this prophecy. Do you know that 85% of prophecy has already taken place? There's only about 15% more of the prophecy in the Bible that is yet to happen. Wow, that's a whole lot behind us and not that much before us. Interesting concept. Mark chapter 13, verse 25. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Wow. Well, I'd like to propose, and this is what I think. And when I say think, I don't mean that it's just rolling around in my brain, but it's what I am adhering to, more or less. Still researching. For this to happen, heaven must be directly above us to allow the stars to fall to earth. Okay, I can't even imagine another scenario in which that would happen. Well, anyway, let's look at the four corners of the earth. And turn to Revelation chapter 7. You know, the Bible says that there's four corners. You've all heard that. I know you've heard that. You've probably even read a verse that said it. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Wow. Well, however this earth looks, it must have four corners. And this is where your imagination needs to stretch. Because if you believe in everything that you've been taught, you can't fit four corners in there. And this is where the conflict enters. And I don't know. I mean, I said I don't care, but what I really meant is I appreciate that you've been taught a lie. And now here's the truth. And now here's where you got to stretch and accept and become somebody new and actually reject things as you believe the truth that you see. Once you're exposed to the truth, there's no going back. Sorry. It just works that way. The Bible, the Word of God, never returns void. It's not going to go out to you and then die. Okay? Isaiah chapter 11. You know, I suppose that some of you will become informers, where you'll inform other people of these truths, of these existing verses that we've ignored our entire spiritual lives. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations. That's kind of like a flag thing. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah. From where? The four corners of the earth. Okay, so here comes the argument. Well, that's just figurative. There's no such thing as four corners. I mean, I can't believe that because I'm staring at a globe! Oh, that's what you're going to tell God? That he said four corners, but you said no, he didn't? Oh, okay. Well, turn to Jeremiah chapter 16. I love that God tells us what this place looks like. And I despise that we've been told a lie. I do believe it's a lie. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth. So there's ends.
Wow.
Ends? Well, that means that it's got to look a whole lot different than I think it looks. Where do you get an end in a ball? Well, you don't. But there could be other aesthetic renderings that do have ends, and we have to put it all together. Four corners, the ends. And she'll say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanities, and things wherein there is no profit. Isn't that apropos? Job 37. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Job chapter 37. You know, I've got new respect for Job. All the things that God told him, asked him, should I say. And really, I do believe that that was a prototype, that those things were directed right to our brains. God knew. He knew what we were going to be deceived by. Job 37:3, he directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. There it is established. So there are ends. There are ends. I don't care what people say. I don't care what we have believed. There are ends. Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven? Or descended? Well, we know. We know the angels do it all the time, right? Those spirit men that God created, those men. And every time an angel is referenced in the Bible upon this earth, it's always a man. Two men came to with Lot. Actually, there were three at the beginning. One of them was the Lord, who came to the tomb. Two men. It says men. And every time you read it, they were men. But there's a difference. You see, those are spirit men. They're not mortals. We're mortals. They're immortals. They're not flesh and blood. We're flesh and blood. We're bound to the laws of physics upon this earth. One day we'll be given a spiritual body. One day we'll become immortal. It's so clear in 1 Corinthians 15. One day we will forsake our soul and be given a quickening spirit. But we don't have that yet, but they do. Spirit men, that's what the angels are. And they're more powerful, they're supernatural, they can travel, they can do things that we can't do. They get to heaven, they come back, and there you have it. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Well, so we've talked a little bit about the four corners of the earth, and we've heard other phrases too. And so let's look at the four winds of the earth. The northern and southern hemispheres each have a polar jet and a subtropical jet. Jet meaning stream of wind. The northern hemisphere polar jet flows over the middle of the northern latitudes of North America, Europe, and Asia. You've probably seen drawings of that, okay? And their intervening oceans. While the southern hemisphere, that's down at the bottom, that southern hemisphere polar jet mostly circles Antarctica all year round. And that's typically what the weather people say. So we have to fit that into the Bible and how the earth, if it is flat, how it lays out. And the one you're going to have the most trouble with would, of course, be Antarctica, because Antarctica actually rings the flat earth. It's a giant ice wall, 150 to 200 feet tall, holding in the water. And you'll see this depicted on the symbol of the United Nations. They know. And there's flat earth maps that you can research. And there's plenty of old religion teachings from antiquity that portray this. Yeah, we'll show those one time. Jeremiah chapter 49. These things sparked my curiosity so vividly. Jeremiah 49, verse 36. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven. So there's four quarters of heaven. And will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. From this we know that there are four winds from the four quarters of heaven. There you have it. You're informed. That's how the wind system originates. There's four winds from the four corners. And I've even seen a picture. I don't like the picture itself because of the way they depicted the earth, because it looks more like a roulette table with a valley, an impression, and then flatness, and then it's a circle in a square mold. And there's nothing in the Bible that says there's this roulette look to the earth. It says it's a circle, okay, and not a ball. And so, in that one drawing, there's an angel at each corner of the square form in which this circle has been inscribed. So it's kind of cool. Well, it says that they're there. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 2. We're looking at the four winds of the earth. Daniel 7 verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. That must have been something. Matthew 24. This is a verse you're probably familiar with. Matthew 24. And verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, isn't that something? Heaven has boundaries from one end of heaven to the other. That's cool. There it is. Okay. I want to play a video for you. I have talked already, I believe it was in part one, about the sun's movement. So I'm not going to reteach that. But I do want to mention one verse, or not one verse, one section. Turn to Joshua chapter 10, and I want to read you a section. And then I want to play you a video. It's 11 and a half minutes long. And if you're listening to this later, not at the live teaching, you can find this video on YouTube. And it's called Pre-Flood Giants, Part 1, and I believe the group that makes it is called Victory Trumpet. Okay? Yeah, Pre-Flood Giant, Titan Fossils All Over the Face of the Earth, PT-1, Part 1, Victory Trumpet. And they have some pretty good stuff. And make sure you watch the text in the blue screens, because it'll help you understand more about, in my opinion, the Rosetta Stone of the Bible. Okay, but I want to read you something out of Joshua that it's just thrilling to me. It gives you a picture of. And so what I'm trying to do at this point is introduce you to the subject of giants and the wrath that the earth was exposed to and lived under for thousands of years. And we've been lied to about it all. all of it. We don't know. And when you're exposed to the realities of the things that I'm going to be feeding into your understanding, as God works in your heart, of course, will not only mystify you, they will astound you. And then you'll probably be upset because you have never been taught this. It's beyond words. So I better turn to Joshua. Let's see if I can find it. I'm so used to not using the actual Bible, but I print things out that it takes me longer and longer to get through this India paper. So Joshua chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 5. And I'm going to read verses 5 through, I guess, about 13. And I want you to glean some things about God. Oh, my gosh. Okay. There was a battle between five kings and four kings. And that's what this is all about. And this is how God had to, he had to keep destroying these giants that we don't even know existed, sadly. Verse 5, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host. Oh my gosh, can you even begin to imagine? Maybe a million giants, I don't know. And encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Well, here's the men of Gibeon. Sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Oh my gosh, help us. Come to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites, these were all giants. Now, you don't even see this in these verses. But they were all giants. They weren't like little, you know, 5-foot people. They were 35-foot people. And who knows? They're spread all around that number. 19, 35, don't argue with it. Just understand that they were giants that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him. See, Joshua was commissioned to destroy 60 cities of giants. Well, they tired at the end, and they didn't destroy all of the giants, all of the Nephilim, which were mentioned in the Rosetta Stone I read to you at the beginning. And because Joshua didn't kill all of them, we have to deal with them even to this day. Oh, that's a big one. Okay, so here's Joshua in action, though, doing what God told him to do. He and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. Now, when you see mighty men here, that's the same word for giant, but they weren't giants, they were mighty men. And that Nephilim can mean mighty men. It's Daniel's or David's mighty men. They weren't giants. They were fighting the giants, but they were also called mighty men. Same thing, same word. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Wow. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Can you imagine dealing with life like this? Because you know that God is on your side, that you have faith in him, that he'll take care of you all the days of your life, like he always says, that you just rush headlong into something. And that's what Joshua did. Came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Wow. Wow. And those guys had unending energy. Of course, you would too if you lived back then because of the amount of oxygen and the quality of food. Man, we can't even be like that because of the limits of our bodies and our environment. But back then, they had like, what, 12% more oxygen? And if you had that, you'd fly. I mean, all you'd ever do is run. You could run for 200 miles and not get tired. Well, anyway. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel. I love this. And slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them. Wow. He chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and they fled. Can you imagine these giants? It's giants just running through the hills, running away from death. Can you imagine what that was like, the sound of it? And we're in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. Now, if you want to call this a figure, go ahead. But the Bible says that God cast down great stones. And if you want to say that part of it's a figure and part of it's not, go ahead. But I'm going to take it literally. Most people get into trouble because they say, well, whatever is literal is figurative. And then they say, whatever is figurative is literal. And they get it all mixed up. This is not figurative. This really happened. The stones, the chasing, cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. You see, the sun has its course, which I taught, and the moon has its course, which I haven't taught. But the sun does 12 revolutions. How do you say that? And the moon 13. It's like a little bit behind. And so the moon has cycles. And you'll see the moon changing more. And you'll never see the sun's course change. And so the timing is different in these courses. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? Oh, extra biblical, but endorsed. So the next time you read the book of Jasher, don't freak out. See what God's going to show you. And you can find it, by the way. I can give you sources. In fact, I've got a really cool source for a comparison of Genesis with Genesis, Enoch, Jasher, Jubilee, and I think there's even one other in there. And it shows you chronologically what each of them are saying. So, anyway. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Before I play this video, if anybody needs to use the restroom, why don't you go ahead? It's 11 minutes, but I don't know if you just need to take a 2-minute break, just run and do it. If not, that's fine too. But see, this is a little different than what I did when I was teaching the sun, because I now want to start giving you visuals that I actually have more confidence in. I've had to filter through hundreds and hundreds of videos and YouTube bits of information. And most of it I won't listen to. Like one guy actually has a really good video, but he's got the foulest mouth I've ever seen. And I would never play that. I like Victory Trumpet because they seem to be more God-centered. That's the name of this group that published this. And nobody's entirely accurate, I'll tell you that right now. And all of them are Trinitarians from what I've seen. I've never found one that's not. And it always slips through somehow, somewhere. So anytime you review some of these, always keep that in mind. And the other thing that you need to keep in mind is how all of these Christian denominations believe that we're going to... All of these Christian organizations believe that we're going to go through the wrath. They all believe it. And they use Scripture to prove it. But they're misled. Because none of them, and I have not found one to this day, and that's why I say none. This is one of these progressive things. I might change that tomorrow if I find somebody. But I haven't. I haven't found one. And yet they all skip over Thessalonians. They do not include Thessalonians in their discussions. Wow. Or Romans, because Romans and Thessalonians both tell us that we will not face the wrath. If you're going to start researching, please keep these things in mind. And the hardest one for you to deal with will be the one where you have to ignore their belief that each and every one of us will go through the wrath. Because you will not go through the wrath. You will not. And I will never change my mind on that. Even if, I know this sounds absolutely pathetic, but if I said, even if I find it to be true, I'm not ever going to change, because that is, wow, that's like hope. That's like freedom. That's like mercy. Or grace, or the more than abundant life, or I don't know if I could say incorruptible seed, but I'm telling you, I am not going to even begin to believe that I'm going to have to stand there while these Antichrist subjects try to force my hand to get the mark of the beast, while they rape my wife, slaughter my children, bashing them up against walls, and all the horrid things that are being taught. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I will not accept that God lied in Thessalonians and Romans when he said we're safe from the wrath to come. I will not acquiesce. It's like Martin Luther said, I cannot and I will not recant, as he stood before those judges. Oh, I'm getting a little dramatic, aren't I? Okay, let's go ahead and play this video. Okay, so we're going to start with kingdoms of the world. We took a little pause after we played the video of the pre-flood giants, part one from Victory Trumpet. And we'll start in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. And I love this verse because you can say it's figurative, but I'm not going to say that, because that doesn't make any sense to me if you say the whole verse is figurative. Because you can't just say one part is and one part isn't. You can't just make up your own theology. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I don't know exactly what he did. I wasn't there. But I know what God wanted us to know. He said that the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain. That's pretty tall. To see all the kingdoms of the world. So whatever happened, Jesus ended up on an exceeding high mountain and saw all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Whatever that means. But I'm not trying to explain that. I'm just telling you that somehow, somewhere, they were both on an exceeding high mountain and could see the entire earth. You can't do that on a globe. Okay, Daniel chapter 4, and this one is equally compelling. You know that the United Nations has broken the world, the flat earth. Look at their emblem someday, and you'll see this. But they broke it into 13 sections. And I don't know how much validity that has. Because I believe, and I haven't studied this completely, but I do believe that the prophecy indicates that the apocalypse world is going to be broken into 10 sections and ruled by 10 of those 20 overseers of the watchers, or you could, I guess you could call them watchers, 10 of the watchers, fallen angels, fallen spirit men, the ones that are in Tartarus right now. Tartarus, or you can call that Sheol, or I guess you can call it the abyss, somewhere under the earth. Well, Daniel chapter 4, verse 11, the tree grew and waxed and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. We know that the Bible talks about three heavens, because we know that John was caught away to the third heaven. And so if there's three, then there's two and one. And from what I understand, where the birds fly today, that's heaven number one. The second heaven is where, again, I'm saying I believe. Obviously, I'm saying this, so I believe it. But I like to add that English phrase in there where it's where the spirits, the many of the fallen angels, not the fallen angels that were incarcerated, but the ones, the angels that sided with Lucifer, are in darkness right now. It says that in Ephesians. And darkness is out there somewhere in this heaven, and they exist there. They stumble over each other all day long and all night. There is no day and night because it's dark. And these are the angels, or the spirit men, the ones that defied God, that Michael and Gabriel and other angels, the innumerable company of angels, whichever ones actually come down to earth, have to get through to get here. And these are the ones that your prayers have to get through to get to God, to get up there. Whether or not there's a delay, I don't know. It seems like there's some delaying mechanism in place, though, based on Daniel, where he waited for 3 weeks for an answer to prayer. And when the angel finally showed up, he said, look, I was fighting the prince of Persia. There's a devil of Persia, the king of Persia, which is a devil of Persia, or prince of Persia, was one of these devils, one of these spirit men who tried to usurp the throne of God, who defied him, stood against him, and so he had to fight, and he couldn't beat him because he wasn't strong enough. And so he had to get Michael to come and help him. And then he had to go back and continue the fight. But he came and delivered the answer to Daniel's prayer. So it's telling you that there's something there. That's all I know. But it says that, so that's now all you know. Okay. Anyway, there's this tree, it says, verse 11, the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached up unto heaven. And that's why I gave that little talk on heaven. And the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. So up there, you could see everything. Isn't that something? Well, you can't do that on a globe. And, well, we've learned that Jesus could see the entire earth from where the devil took him. And we've already learned that the earth has pillars. It has columns. It's immovable. It has a foundation. It has corners. It has a firmament. And there's three heavens, one of which is within the firmament. The sun and moon and stars are in the firmament, and there's some that aren't, some of the stars. But we know that the sun and the moon are under the firmament, and they have their course. And there's so much more that I really wanted to show you. But I'm going to show you a video now, and then this is where we'll end, and I'll pick this up next week. But I've got some great pictures of how somebody that I actually trust a lot in believes the earth
to look. The pillars, the firmament, the deep, heaven, the third heaven. Just, you know, because it takes verses where it says that God walks up there and he sees us, sees the heaven or the earth. And then also you have to take into account the flood and the windows of heaven that were opened. But the water that was let in didn't go back out to the deep. It's stored now. And so it depicts that, which may or may not be accurate, but we do know that it didn't go back out. And we do know, just like when a submarine goes underwater and has this tremendous water pressure because of the weight of the water on its hull, and all submarines have a breaking point, we do know that because so much water was taken out of the deep, pressure was let off of the firmament, which changed our environment. Okay. And so I want to show you that picture, which is really cool. It's the most accurate one I can see. And it's in development. So nobody has an answer to all this stuff. It's all like in process. Because, you know, I guess it says in Daniel that knowledge shall increase. And it is. But we're like on the cutting edge of that increase. So we're learning. And I'm a little late to the game, I'll be real honest. Because the game really started about 10 years ago. And I just ignored it. The closest I got was giving you a timeline, which I don't believe is accurate anymore, but a timeline of the end times. And that happened about, what, 5 years ago? There's bits of that are accurate, and there's bits of it that might not be. And so that's all just common Christian denominational teaching stuff. So I don't buy into what they say. I just don't, because I think most of them lie. I think that many of them are false prophets, and I think they're plants by Luciferian technology and devices that keep Christians subdued and deceived. But the way I'm trying to do it with you guys by informing you is give you the verses. There's not a whole lot of opinion in there. And I will tell you what I kind of think now, but I also would tell you, go figure it out yourself. Research. And I think that's right. And I know you want me to say, no, this thus saith the Lord. And maybe I can in some cases, but more than likely, maybe I can't. And therefore, I won't. That's just the way it is. Okay, so I want to play this video. And I love this video. It's 16 minutes long. And you can go ahead and start it, but not with the sound. And I want you to see what used to be regarding trees. And I want you to understand that all the trees that you see today are nothing like what used to be. And we're only talking a couple hundred years and, of course, past that. But I want you to understand that what you see in terms of plateaus, mesas, mountains are dead trees. And prepare to be amazed.